The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Back at the beach, and that's been the highlight so far for me. A couple of the youngsters down there showing their love for the show. And you want to go up on a balloon ride or come down? This is the beach, Hilton Sandestin Beach at Miramar Beach in Florida. Day two, the weather remains the same, so the activity inside has heated up, and we're going to try to tackle that all afternoon long, ending this afternoon with the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference and one of the top presidents in the SEC. But we begin with one of the top coaches, or he's trying to become one of the top coaches, yeah. Coach Elijah Drinkwitz. Coach, it's nice to see you. You've created a lot of stir yesterday. My opening question for those who missed it, you brought family members into the conversation. Have you heard from your brother-in-law?
Yeah, he wants to know why everybody got so fired up about how little money he makes to be a doctor. No, I think yesterday was a little bit of a disingenuous approach to media, to be quite honest. I don't think my quote that made the rounds on media was taken in any type of context at all. I was referring to the fact that I love the fact that our players make NIL, and I think that's awesome. I've been one of the leaders in the forefront of that. I mean, our state law is one of the most progressive state laws out there, that I'm fighting for our players to have the ability to earn finances off of their name, image, and likeness. What I want everybody to understand is that there's unintended consequences with giving 18 to 22-year-olds a large sum of money, and I think that's what there needs to be an understanding of, is we're not talking about players making $10,000 or $12,000 a year. We're talking about guys that are making six figures, seven figures, which is awesome. But with that much money comes a different set of responsibilities. And if we're not careful, we're going to look back in 4 and 5 years, and we're going to be just like the NFL and the NBA, where 78% of those professional athletes, after 5 years removed from playing in the NFL or NBA, are bankrupt. Is that what we're trying to create? No, that's not what we're trying to create. We're trying to create a system in place, and we're at the ground levels of it. So let's create a system that has some guardrails that puts things in place. I think one of the unintended consequences is gambling. We just had a presentation. There are 39 states that have legalized gambling in the United States that just has happened in the last 5 years. It's a $103 billion industry. So with a large influx of cash, a lot of things going on, I'm just talking about responsibility. I have nothing to do with being anti-NIL. Look, my salary, I don't deserve what I make. I clearly understand that. I've just been blessed to be here. I'm not trying to make comparisons. I was just trying to make sure people understood that we need to have some guardrails in place.
Coach Schrenk, and I realize you're the football coach. You're not yep. the governor of Missouri or state senator or state representative, but I've heard from some of your brethren, nobody's very happy with the NIL legislation from your state.
Yeah, you know what, Paul, I got a question for you. Are there rules in place for it? So nobody criticizes coaches for having strategic offense and defensive schemes or better special teams ideas. Well, you know what? There's not a uniform system in place, and so it's disingenuous to criticize the state of Missouri for trying to find an advantage for NIL. We're always trying to find a competitive advantage. That's what we all are doing. We all work to find competitive advantages in recruiting, competitive advantages on the field, and this happens to have the potential effect for a competitive advantage. It also has a impact for student athletes in our state to develop their NIL brand. So, again, I really don't have any apologies for that at all. And if there's something that needs to be done differently, then I welcome a change. I'm not against it. But why would there be criticisms towards us for doing something that could potentially give us an advantage in college football?
Well, and again, it came late in our program when we were talking to one of your yeah. fellow head coaches, and I, unlike some people, I'm not calling names yeah. here. I'm just simply stating something, which is why I asked you, because yeah. I was surprised that a head football coach at another school in another state would be as concerned about what was happening in Missouri. I guess it's a compliment to Missouri that people are paying attention.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, again, we don't complain when other people have unique offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators or schemes. We're all looking for competitive advantages, and the University of Missouri and the state of Missouri seems to have found one. And so I think that's benefit us, and not going to apologize for it. And when the rules change, then we'll abide by the rules.
I wanted to ask you about what you said at the beginning, and I realize there are a lot of important subjects out there, but mm-hmm. but one thing that does happen, and I think anybody in the public eye is either a victim of it or profits from it, and that's the dissemination of comments. Yeah. And you said something yesterday. I wasn't there, so I know what you said later, but you called it disingenuous. How much of what we all live with right now is created perhaps incorrectly, because it's hard to get the whole context. Nobody's sitting around. Yeah. Let me hear your manifesto on NIL. They want a quick headline.
Well, the issue I have is the question was about how gambling has become a problem in our locker rooms. And I made this long. I was trying to be thoughtful about my response, and there was a snippet in there that was cut and paste to make it sound like I was complaining about NIL, which was not the case. And so, you know, I think that to me lacks journalistic integrity. Quite honestly, I think that's exactly what it was. And by the time that 3 hours later that journalist put something out, there was 3.4 million views on his original tweet, and there was 300,000 on his correction tweet. You know, there's a whole, lies travel around the world 7 times before truth gets out around the corner. I mean, that's exactly what social media can be and do. And at the end of the day, in 48 hours, it's not going to matter anymore. And that's kind of where I shook it off. Like, in 48 hours, it's not going to matter. I'll say something dumb on Feinbaum's show. So
we're hoping.
I'm not going to care. But... yeah, I think that's the
issue.
You've
done this before. You had not been at Mizzou long before you called out somebody very well known at this network. I find it refreshing because too many coaches hide behind their people. And they let them do all the dirt.
Here's the deal, man. I'm living the dream. I was a former high school coach and have the opportunity to be in college football. And my time in college football could be long, could be short. Nobody knows, right? So I'm not going to try to be somebody I'm not. I'm going to be uniquely who I am. You know, Kirby said the other day he finds it funny when he talks to me before games because, you know, I'm just out there having a good time knowing I'm living the dream. Absolutely. And I'm never going to change. Like, I'm blessed to be here and blessed to have this opportunity. And you know, I think one of the things that we really all got to figure out, you know, we were just sitting in this meeting talking about 9-game schedule, 12 or 8-game schedule, 12-team playoff. You know, what we've got to figure out is how are we going to talk about generating revenue for the institution? Where does that revenue, how does that revenue get dispersed to our student athletes? All right. And that really is the crux of the conversation that's really not yet been addressed or facilitated to be addressed. And that's where we got to get to find any type of, I think, direction moving forward in college athletics.
Talking to Coach Strink here in the opening segment, not to throw these open-ended, you know, change the world, but you do seem to have a lot of really thoughtful ideas. In terms of NIL, the portal, the constants that we hear about, I just hear a lot of people talking and asking someone else to correct it, but nothing seems to really mm-hmm. be changing.
Yeah, and I know we're all supposed to go up to Congress on June 7th and ask them to do something. I look forward to those opportunities and discussions, but we need to have a real plan in place. I mean, it's taken them a long time to get the debt ceiling raised, and that was a huge issue. So, you know, for them to go say we're going to solve NIL for us, I think is a real challenge. But we'll all do the very best we can. It's a very difficult conversation with no direct end game in sight.
Yeah, in terms of, I mean, I realize coaches are celebrities, and when someone like you or anybody else shows up in Washington, representatives show up, they want their picture taken. But what impact, I mean, I know you're going there to try to change, but what do you expect? Or is there an expectation of what's going to happen after you leave?
I don't know. Yeah, I think we're going there to bring awareness to the realities of the issue. And I think, again, the realities of the issue are it's awesome, again, for these young people to earn a wage. And I guess I shouldn't call it earn a wage. Earn a financial benefit through their name, image, and likeness. But it's a lot different than what we're making it out to be. And what the coaches are dealing with on a day-to-day basis, I think, are different than even what maybe the athletic directors and even the people in administration understand it to be. And so we've got to figure out some ways to create guardrails in a model, you know, and it's going to be a challenge, because how are we going to create a model that encompasses football, which, if the 12-team playoff continues, is a $1 billion sports generator, financial generator, but also it takes care of maybe track and field, which is not necessarily, it's an Olympic sport model, but it doesn't generate that same income. So how do we find something that's going to unify both sports or be able to govern both sports? I don't know, and I don't know that anybody has those answers.
A week away from Coach Strink goes to Washington. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I hope Coach Saban and those guys are going to Washington, because I'm not sure anybody really wants to see me. They're definitely going to want to see Coach Smart, Coach Kiffin, and the headliners of our league.
I think you'll be a headliner, because you might say something that's unscripted. They won't. Coach, thank you for dropping by. It's always a pleasure.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, Paul.
It is our pleasure. We will be back. We have more coaches. The coaches are breaking up, and they're hard to keep in town because they're all trying to get out and do some other things. Clark Lee will join us in a minute. Coach Yeo from Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin a little bit later on. And we're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and we're thrilled to be here at the beach. Clark Lee about to join us, the head coach at Vanderbilt. And, Coach, every time I see you, things seemingly are better at Vanderbilt. You had a plan, and by all accounts, it's starting to take shape. Tell us about it.
Well, I think we had the also very humble beginnings. So, you know, I think the only way was up. No, we feel like every day we're moving closer to the vision, and I got a great staff and a great team, and I'm excited to be done here and be heading back to them and preparing to have a great summer. We have high expectations for this season. We understand, too, that our margins are still so thin, so the next couple months are going to be really important to set a course for our success in the season, but we believe in what we're doing. We believe in our people, and we have our sights set on something special.
I know that these aren't even fair things to ask in terms of your plan. I know you have a long-term plan. It takes building blocks, but when do you know that you've reached that midpoint where you start sprouting wings and taking this thing off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, obviously we're going to ultimately be measured off results. I think right now we're looking at progress. I get a lot of compliments on a 5-7 year, and really, I mean, it's almost – a little bit offensive to me. You know, that's not the goal. That's not what Vanderbilt football is going to be about. We do celebrate the progress we're making, but we have higher aspirations. As far as when we'll know, I mean, I think the more competitive games we're in, the more that we're lining up and winning games in our league, the more we're opening up opportunities for postseason play. And getting there is not the goal. Sustaining that level of success is what we're after. So, It is a long run. I mean, we're not trying to flip this thing overnight. This is about building something that sustains success. It takes time. We can't skip steps, but hopefully it'll be after years of success and we look back and say, you know, from the starting point till now, we built something that we believe in.
But yeah, I mean, there are roller coaster rides throughout a season, but you had a spurt last season that was pretty remarkable with a couple of games that one on the road and one, I believe, at home. And, I mean, it changed the way people perceive the program, which is an important step, is it not?
You know, I do. It feels good. External perception is important because we are very proud of what we're a part of, and we believe in what we're doing. And so I've always said from the very onset of my time at Vanderbilt that we can't worry about what is thought about our program externally. We have to focus on our love and investment for what we're building internally. And over time, if we're true to that, you know, the ripple effect outside will follow. And I do think it was important for our team to have a breakthrough moment last year where, you know, if you look at those games, Kentucky and Florida, they weren't without adversity. It was those were battles for us. And we hadn't responded well to that level of competitive back and forth in the season because we weren't playing to our identity like we should have. And so I saw growth and evolution through the year that delivered us to those moments where we could win those games. And our team needed that glimpse and that taste of success. And now it's about doubling down on the things that got us there. And as we've streamlined and recruited another class into the program, again, we feel like what we have is more solid inside and out. And, you know, we think that, you know, in terms of just enduring the competitive grind that's the season, we're excited about what's ahead of us.
Coach, this has been a refreshing conversation because I think almost everybody else we've talked about the greatest hits that are being discussed inside where the air conditioning is. But on that subject, because yeah, everybody deals with it in different forms or fashion, and I know Vanderbilt has one philosophy and other schools have theirs, but how have you tackled all these big ticket items that are creating angst for everyone in college athletics?
You know, the more I kind of look at it, and you try to always take a big picture perspective, and again, if you think about it from my seat, and obviously this is for Candace and Chancellor Diermeier too, we're looking at, 15 years. We're looking at long term, and we're trying to stay true to the vision that we have for this program long term in the decisions, choices we're making now. On the surface of college athletics right now is chaos, and if you choose to spend your time on the surface, you're going to get battered around a little bit, and again, you'll blow with the winds. Below the surface, you have substantive growth. I mean, that's still where, you know, self-discovery exists. And for me personally, I kind of look at everything not insofar as how am I going to worry about, you know, what the trends and what other people are doing. How do I stay true to the vision that I have for our program, what I believe Vanderbilt can do? How do I best serve the team that I have now? I think that's not deviating from traditional values of what team building should look like. And I think the results of that is we have a really solid, committed core of players. And we're having fun. I mean, I'm enjoying my time with my team. We had 103 days in our team formation, which was winter and spring. We had 70 team meetings. And so we're spending a lot of time together and enjoying the process of building something that we care about to success.
Before you go, on these issues, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom coming from some of your colleagues. When I hear you talk, I don't hear that.
Well,
I hear optimism. I hear a program ascending. You've got something unique. Maybe you should start bottling it.
I don't know. I drink good coffee, I guess, Paul. No, it's just I think everything that we – look, we have an opportunity right now. The opportunity is that, our model in a lot of ways is being challenged and being rewritten, and we get to be a part of that conversation. We get to adapt college football the way it needs to be adapted, but also make sure we don't lose it so in 10 and 20 years we don't recognize the game that we love so much. To me, you know, to be a part of this is it's a great responsibility, but it's an honor, and it's something that excites me. And so I think it's just a matter of choice. It comes down to every day when I get up and I get to be with my team, I'm excited. I believe in our players. I believe in our coaches. I'm having so much fun heading into year three, you know, to look back on year one and to think about where things were and how hard we've had to work to get to this point. There's a lot to celebrate. So, you know, everything's a choice. My choice is to see the good in what we're doing, the good in the direction we're headed, excited about the challenges, and really honored to be a part of the solution.
Well, we are always in your debt for coming by and having a conversation. We hope to see you. We'll see you in Nashville. We hope to see you in the fall in Nashville as well, like we did last year.
That's right.
A blast.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Great to
Thank
be
you
with
very
you.
Much. Coach Clark Lee joining us here as we continue. A lot more to do as we are only just beginning. We'll tackle some of the big issues that are going on inside there. We'll even get to your phone calls. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back live in Miramar Beach as the SEC spring meetings continue here. And coming up in just a few minutes, Lane Kiffin. We just got through talking to two SEC coaches, and Clark Lee and, of course, Elijah Drinkwitz. Kiff will be here in a few seconds. And I was, as we say hello to our next guest, I was going down in the elevator yesterday, and I ran into our next guest's husband, and it was one of my thrills to meet Mr. Coach Yo.
Yeah.
And Coach Yo, great to see you. It's always fun to talk to you, and congratulations on what an amazing run in the NCAA tournament.
Thank you so much. You spoke it on me from the beginning of the year.
Well,
we talked about it, and anytime you wish me good luck, good things happen.
Well, I thought you were going to just luck yourself right into the whole thing for a minute there, the way you were knocking
too.
off number one seeds.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, you know, that hadn't happened in a long time. And then our team just played with incredible, like, belief and confidence within themselves, and going on the road and beating a team that's historically been to the Sweet 16 and beyond, and 2 years removed from winning the national championship. It was incredible.
Yeah, I remember talking to you. I think you were pretty much living on the West Coast at one point.
Yeah.
During all this. But what an amazing season. And I know that you always have to turn the page. But when something like that happens, what's the residual of that in terms of everything else?
Well, just having the belief. And, you know, when I took the program over, we were not in the best shape. So it was very difficult. And, you know, 3 years before this, we were 0-16. And you work, and you don't see the results right away. So it was kind of just confirmation that our culture is building, our culture is strong, and we're heading in the right direction.
Well, to say it was a big year in the SEC would be an understatement. It's pretty much a big year in the SEC every year. But a couple of teams, including yours, that went extremely deep in the tournament, including two that went all the way to the Final Four with one winning it. Not the one we thought, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's all about matchups. It's styles make fights. You know, four of us were in the Sweet 16 from the Southeastern Conference, and a lot of people tried to put out a narrative that it was a down year, and we just never believed that. We felt like we were competitive all year. It just so happened that we beat up each other all the time. And so this is back-to-back years for us to have a national championship coming from our conference, and I think it's going to continue to get stronger and stronger.
Let's talk about the intersection, Coach O, of of all these issues that are being discussed here, mostly in football, but they apply to everything, especially women's basketball, which has become, I mean, there's never been a year like this and a tournament. How are your young ladies dealing with these new opportunities?
Well, I mean, luckily for us, our collective has been very influential in educating our players how to take full advantage of name, image, and likeness and getting them to understand it. But it's an adjustment. Some still don't take as much advantage as they probably could. You know, I often think about what my marketability would be if I was a student athlete in this day and time. But, you know, just excited that they do have that. You know, I was a broke college student, Paul, and so for me to see our players have an opportunity to, you know, make some money from their own name, image, and likeness is great. And I think everyone at our university agree with that stance.
It is remarkable. No matter, I mean, until recently, you know, money was not easy to find in as a college student, let alone someone who participates in athletics. And what are these young people doing with their money?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I often ask them, you know, what they got in their bank account, because they take me to lunch now.
That's
right. I don't have to fill out an expense report or anything like that. I mean, I know for a lot of them, it's sometimes life changing for them, you know, to be able to do things for them personally, but also their family. I see an increase of sneakerheads, so a lot of tennis shoes being bought. But one of the things that I think our Growth Collective does a great job of is educating our players on, you know, how to make the money stretch and how to use it long term, because as you know, at some point it goes away.
It does, no matter where you are. But yeah, you know, I think about at that age, and again, not trying to compare eons ago, but you know, a couple of dollars.
That's only 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. You know, back when I got out of school in 2004.
Right.
But I'm particularly interested, Coach O, in the impact it's had, because we were all pontificating here 2 years ago before we hit July 1st. Oh, it's going to be unmanageable. But I haven't seen any much evidence of that. What's it like on the campus?
As far as
young people having money and changing their attitudes listen to a Coach O.
You know, I mean, anytime there's change, we're presented with challenges. There's no doubt about it. I don't care if it's changes in rules or like we have the introduction of name, image, and likeness. So obviously there are challenges. I just think coaches do a great job of being transparent. And I know we do. And we're transparent with our players, and we give them the tools and skills to be successful. But at the end of the day, they have to take full advantage of it. But like I said, it does present its challenges, because sometimes you can look in someone else's yard and see maybe the grass is greener, and you know, the inconsistency of state laws provide a challenge, because you can see one state doing it, and then the state you're in may not have the same rules. So there's definitely a cry for uniformity across the board, so that it can be managed.
Coach O, take us into those meetings, because in your meetings, we're talking about well-known, big personalities, of which I include you in that group now.
I'm the angel in the group.
we're talking about competitors at the highest level, but I always hear coaches say when they get together, that what you see on the court goes away.
Yeah. No, when we get together in spaces like this, we're a team, because at the end of the day, we're trying to see how to better improve the Southeastern Conference.
Right.
Okay, because we feel like we're the best conference in the country, and so how do we promote that? You know, what type of product do we put on the floor as a group? You know, what are issues that are coming that we all need to pay attention to? And I think Commissioner Greg Sankey just does a phenomenal, he's just so brilliant and forward thinking, so he understands where we are now, but also he's able to look ahead and kind of lead us in that way. So it's not as spicy as it is on the court. It's very low key. And us trying to figure out how to continue to push the Southeastern Conference narrative forward for women's basketball.
So before you go, I asked Mr. Coach O.
Shout out to Kelly.
About whether you were going to this event. And he said, no, we got a birthday in the family. So tell us about how did that go.
It was great. My daughter turned 6. Shout out to Yuri and my other daughter, Yasmin. And we had a great time. And she's at the age now, she understands that she's having a birthday. So you can't sneak it and celebrate it another day. It's already circled on the calendar. So you got to kind of just celebrate it as it's there. And she made sure everyone knew that yesterday was her birthday.
I heard it from Kelly and I heard it from mom. So yeah. That's too bad. Cause I mean, my mother would have said, we're celebrating your birthday when we get home, but not anymore. Coach, great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. Coach O joining us, Lane Kiffin in a few minutes, if we can find him. You never know. The combination of Lane Kiffin, sunglasses, and the beach is dangerous. Well, search party's out for the coach.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Excited for NBA Finals Game 1 tomorrow night. Heat, Nuggets. Again, listen to it right here on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm Gabe Neitzel. He's Aaron Goldhammer. We fill in for Canty and Carlin today on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. A little bit of an update for Game 1, as I think this was kind of anticipated to be the case, even though has been cleared to return to basketball activities, Aaron. But Eric Spoelstra earlier today making it official, no Tyler Hero for Game 1 for the Miami Heat.
Yes. So I would imagine he might come back at some point during this series, Gabe, and this is going to be a storyline to watch. This guy that averages 20 points a game. I mean, he may not be a superstar, but he's probably the Heat's second-best scorer. I mean, from Caleb Martin being the second coming of Kevin Durant or whatever. So I think this is something worth keeping an eye on as we move forward. He's been out since the Milwaukee series, but from people that have watched him warm up and stuff and practice a little bit, it sounds like he's close enough that we might definitely see him during this series at some point.
Yeah, when you're a shooter like that, just coming back from a broken hand, there's just so many feels you kind of have to regain in order to have trust in yourself in order to be a contributor, especially once you've made it to the NBA Finals and your team has shown that they can, you know, find out a way to do it without your 20 points per game. I'm sure Eric Spoelstra and the Heat would love to have him available, but they need, in order for it to be worth it, he needs to be close to the shooter that he was and kind of have some of those same feels before he broke it against the Bucks earlier this postseason. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Which team for the finals, the Nuggets or the Heat, have the better case for playing the Nobody Believes in Us card? We go to Young in Miami. You're on ESPN Radio with Gabe Neitzel and Aaron Goldhammer.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, what's going on, Young?
Oh, what's going on, man? I ain't even hear you, man, when you said it. How y'all guys doing? I'm actually doing Amazon work right now, but I'm going to just get straight to it. So the Heat, for sure, have that nobody believe in us card. Like, you got to understand the adversity we went through. Yeah, Denver, but Denver is the number one team. Like, they doing what they're supposed to do. The Heat was not even supposed to be in the finals, guys. Come on. What are we asking here? And Eric Spoelstra, if he wins this one, for sure, will be the top 5 coach. And also, earlier, you said championship pedigree on the bench. I have Kyle Lowry. I also have Kevin Love, who's won a championship before. So I got some type of championship experience in that locker room. That's something to throw out there. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No, certainly appreciate pointing especially those two players out. I think I'm of the thinking, Hammer, that Spoelstra might be a top five coach anyway, regardless if they win the series. Because going through what a lot of people thought were probably two of the top, if not the top two teams in the NBA this year, I know going into the playoffs, there were many there were experts that I talked to on this show while filling in saying the Bucks and Celtics were the best two teams, not just in the East, but in the NBA. And they went through both. And when you look at this roster, especially considering they haven't had Tyler Hero for the majority of this run, taking this roster to an NBA Finals is, to me, it's the same as when LeBron dragged Booby Gibson as his second best player in to the finals
it's
in his early days with the Cavs.
It's the equivalent of the 2007 Cavs. No, I see what you're saying. And look, I wouldn't take anything away from Spo if the Heat don't win this series. But I'm looking at the list that the NBA put out last year at NBA 75 at the 75th anniversary of the 15 greatest coaches in history. I mean, Spo has definitely had a better career than some of these guys. Like, God bless Don Nelson. I hope he's enjoying a beard and, you know, a beer and something else somewhere.
Yeah.
He never won a championship as a coach. Like, I'm just not straight up ring counting. But I'm saying, like, you got to win. Like, Larry Brown, I would take Spo over Doc Rivers any day of the week, and he's on this list. I can make an argument that before that, that he's one of the top five coaches in NBA history, right there with his mentor, Pat Riley, who's also definitely on that list.
Yeah, I would have Pat Riley on that list. It's tough to kind of compare maybe to, you know, coaches in past eras like Red Auerbach. It's just one of those things where it's going to be tough. It's not exactly apples to apples when the league was smaller and you are using different modes of transportation. We're going to continue this conversation. Plus, who was the biggest disappointment in the NBA this season? That's next. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio.